Our very high divorce rate seems to indicate that few of us have discovered the secret to a successful relationship. But according to a new study, the answer could be simpler than any of us have thought. We asked a few experts in the field to share their secrets.
And now, it's time for Marriage Beyond the Vows on Praise.
And a very good morning to you. Welcome to today's edition of Marriage Beyond the Vows. And we invite you to give us a call. We are talking about being beyond mental illness today. In light of what's happened in the last week, hearing of the death of actor, comedian Robin Williams, it's sparked a lot of discussion about mental illness and depression in particular. So we are going to be digging into this topic today. We have a special guest in studio who is a licensed therapist. Steve Fantini is joining us, and we will be speaking with him in just a matter of minutes. We invite you to give us a call if you've ever suffered from depression or any other mental illness. We invite you to give us a call if you're concerned about how to help someone who is. We invite you to give us a call as well. 855-454-5905. I'm your co-host, Tiffany Bacon. Here's your host with the most, Mr. Marcos Mercado. Good morning, Marcos. How are you?
Good morning, Tiffany, and good morning to all our friends who are listening, whether you're listening here on 103.9 or online on praisephilly.com. We're so grateful you decided to join us. As always, we want to begin by going to God in prayer. God in heaven, thank you so much, Father, for this opportunity to be on the airwaves, God, and help many relationships heal, but in this case, also help those who need some answers or some comforting, God. I do pray that you would be with our program in a special way, Father, that it will bring healing, it will bring some kind of connection with you, Father, and that we are able to have conversation that is truly seasoned with salt, Father. We love you. We thank you so much for this opportunity, for this time. We ask these prayers in Jesus' name. Amen. Yeah. You know, our theme scripture of the day comes from Matthew chapter 9. And as Tiffany mentioned, we are talking about beyond mental illness, depression, other forms of mental illness, even maybe suicidal thoughts that are going through your mind or someone you care about. We want to hear from you. In Matthew chapter 9, verse 1, it says, Jesus stepped into a boat, crossed over, and came to his hometown. Some men brought to him a paralytic lying on a mat. When Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, "Take heart, son, your sins are forgiven." At this, some of the teachers of the law said to themselves, "This fellow is blaspheming." Knowing their thoughts, Jesus said, "Why do you entertain evil thoughts in your hearts? Which is easier to say, 'Your sins are forgiven,' or to say, 'Get up and walk,' so that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins?" Then he said to the paralytic, "Get up, take up your mat, and go home." And the man got up and went home. When the crowd saw this, they were filled with awe. They praised God who had given such authority to men. Now, let's break down the scripture for a minute, because in this case, Jesus did both, right? He healed the man spiritually. He forgave his sin, but he also went on and healed him physically. But we also know that even when Jesus lived on this earth, and definitely afterwards, not every sick person was healed. And just because someone may have a relationship with God and get saved, gets their sins forgiven, doesn't mean that all their sicknesses are necessarily healed. Now, does God heal us? Absolutely. Sometimes he chooses not to. Sometimes he chooses not to do it in the time that we expect. So I think a lot of times one of the things we want to talk about and really tackle is the fact that, you know, sometimes people think that God is enough, in the sense, not that God can't do it all, but hey, I have a relationship with God. I don't need help. I don't need to go to the doctor. I don't need to take medication. And if you're suffering with mental illness, that can be devastating, not just for you, but for your loved ones. So we're going to talk about this. As we mentioned earlier, Steve Fantini, who is a licensed therapist, is here live with us in studio. And we want to give you the opportunity to give us a call, have conversation. If you are suffering with mental illness, or you know of someone that you care about and you want to get some answers, perhaps you don't even know, is this a serious situation that you're dealing with? Or is it not serious? You want some answers. We absolutely want you to give us a call so we can talk. Welcome, Steve. This is Marriage Beyond the Vows.
Wow, it's exciting to be here. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. So tell us a little bit about yourself. I know earlier you were mentioning and breaking down what you do, and how you deal with mental illness very often, right, as a therapist. Right. But specifically, it sounds like you deal with drug addiction and, you know, substance abuse and mental illness.
Yeah, we deal with both. I've been a therapist for about 15 years, the last 10 with a master's degree, which I got at Arcadia. Mm-hmm. I'm from the area originally, but since that time I've been working with children up through adult, all ages, on mental illness and drug and alcohol abuse. It's very challenging when there is what's called a dual diagnosis, when there is a drug and alcohol use issue with depression coexisting. Mm-hmm. and you have to deal with both. And throughout that time of my experience, I've dealt with people who have thoughts of hurting themselves, and mm-hmm. It's very challenging when not just the thoughts are there, but when there's a plan, when there's intent to do it,
sure,
and there's even the means to do it.
Mm. Let me ask you this, Steve. So if someone comes to you and they say, "I'm really down, I'm depressed, I don't know if I want to live," mm-hmm. is that an emergency? Mm-hmm. Is that something you take seriously, or is that someone just kind of venting a little bit and just telling you, hey, I'm having a hard time?
That's what you want to follow up on with that statement, I don't want to live. And there's, by the way, there's other statements like that that are very general and broad, like, well, I just don't feel like waking up anymore, or I don't want to live. You know, it's you have to explore that. You know, what does that mean? Now, often you'll have people that say, well, no, I'm just really challenged through this problem. I don't have any intent and thought to hurt myself. That's a big relief when you hear that. But mm-hmm. So you still take that seriously. Maybe there still is some kind of depression there that you mm-hmm. you really need to treat, but it doesn't mean there's a plan necessarily. But you do sometimes find there is a plan when you follow up with those questions. You know, when you ask, well, how would you do that, and you know, do you have the means in your house right now? Like, how sure. would you do find there are specifics. So you want to explore that.
So if someone's already thought it through, it's an emergency.
Yeah. Someone's that's thought it through. It is. You can tell right there it is something you need to address. And if it is an emergency, it is a matter of staying with that person. Like me as a therapist, I wouldn't just leave and say, well, you know, good luck to you, and you know, make sure you go contact someone, and you know, I gotta go.
All right, man. My time's up here. I have to clock out. Good luck.
That's the last thing you want to do. I mean, you really are obligated at that point, especially me as a therapist, to stay with that person until they either get to 911 mm-hmm. or call 911 or get to the emergency room. Those are the two immediate options in an imminent threat. Also, there might be other family and friends around that you want to contact those people, because especially if you're If I'm talking on the phone, sometimes in my capacity now, I would talk on the phone to someone who calls into me because I work in an employee assistance program, and that's the nature of that, mm-hmm. helping employees and managers with challenges at work.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. So if you're on the phone with someone and not face-to-face, especially you want to get those people around, family, friends, their spouse. What's your spouse doing? Working? Can I have that person's number?
Great.
And that person really needs to be around and come to the aid immediately.
All right, great. Yep. Well, hold that. We're going to talk a lot more about this, including what are the signs to look for. There are some specific signs, and Steve already started touching on some of the things that you want to do, like call 911 or take that person to the emergency room. But there are some other things we can do, and also what not to do. There are some things that you absolutely do not want to do or say when someone is depressed and thinking about suicide.
And we're going to get to those, and we would love to get to your phone call. So reach out to us at 855-454-5905. Stay with us. Marriage Beyond the Vows continues after this.
And now, back to Marriage Beyond the Vows.
Call 855-454-5905 and get in on the conversation. We're praised.
And a very good morning to you. Welcome back to today's program. We are talking about being beyond mental illness. If you have ever suffered from depression or any other mental illness, or you have been you're the friend or the spouse or the family member of someone who has, we invite you to call in this morning. Give us a call at 855-454-5905. We're going to go right to the phones. Thank you, Sharon from Pennsylvania, for holding on and for definitely being so patient. We thank you so much. Good morning. You're live on the air.
Good morning. How are you?
Good
well,
morning.
Thank
we're
you.
We're doing great. Thank you so much for your call.
Oh, well, no, I'd like to thank y'all. I listen to y'all every morning.
Well, thank you. Thank you, Sharon.
Well, every Saturday. So.
There you go. Every morning. You. Yeah, you could always go online and listen to old archive shows. So we don't know. Maybe every morning you get up and listen to us. But so what can we do to, for you today?
I wanted to first say that I was diagnosed with depression some time ago.
Okay.
And there seems to be a lot of talk about, well, what can a person do, and what are some of the signs? In 2012, I actually tried to commit suicide. I swallowed a bunch of pills. Okay. And when I was in that frame of mind, I didn't reach out. I didn't call anyone. Sometimes there are no signs.
Wow.
And I just wanted to let people know, because it seems to be a myth. There are not always signs as to when someone is depressed. And if a person is close enough to you, maybe they can say, you know, what's going on? You don't seem like it. Because I'm an outgoing, cheery kind of person, and I was becoming withdrawn. I wasn't answering my phone, and I seemed like it felt like to me nobody cared. Mm-hmm. And some of the things you don't say is, oh, just snap out of it. Or
yes, yes, we were actually talking about that off the air. Let's hear what Steve Fantini, who is actually a licensed therapist and deals with depression and mental illness often. What do you think about that when Sharon says there sometimes there are no signs?
But yeah, Sharon, I mean, you're absolutely right. That's the one of the scary things, is that it's not always you see someone who you know has depression and there's all these things in their life crumbling down around them, all these obvious signs. I mean, sometimes you look at someone who seems very happy and you wouldn't know. I mean, maybe there are some clues if, like you said, if you know the person. You know, maybe there's a past suicide attempt, or you know they've been treated for depression. But besides that, maybe someone seems like they're doing well. Mm. And there's a very recent situation, a family that's close to my family, where the exact same thing happened. It was a teenager who took his life. Mm. And he had been treated. There were signs that, you know, he had depression, but he had been treated. There was a past attempt. He seemed to be doing well for a long time. He seemed to be doing well, but there were some stressors in life going on. It's you know, developmentally for a teenager, those stressors are different than ours.
Right.
But with you, really, like you said, it is about those people who are close to you, and it's very important if you know someone who seems to be doing well, yet there is a history of depression. You should really be talking to that person. You mentioned it, Sharon. I mean, you said some people can ask you, well, how you doing lately? Really, you know, it's important those people stay in your life.
Absolutely. Now share a little bit about what was going on that you attempted to take your life.
In 2012, thanks to Governor Corbett, you know, they cut my income. That was my sole income. You know, the supplement I was getting because I was applying for disability. So I had no income coming in. I felt less than because I wasn't able to work. I have a physical disability.
Okay.
Disability kept denying me. I had no income coming in. I had to move back, live with my mother. And I'm a grown woman. I just felt like I was no longer a productive part of society when I was getting up and seeing everybody going to work. And I'm struggling. So now I'm saved. I've been saved. I was saved when I tried it. And you know what my thought was? Well, I'm saved. I know where I'm going.
There's a better place than this suffering world. Wow.
You know, but I wanted to say on the flip side is that I woke up. I laugh at it now. Me personally, so please don't nobody take this personal. I woke up. I said, oh, man, I'm still here. Oh, okay, Lord, you got something for me. So now I went to school. I'm now a certified peer specialist so that I can help those who do have mental health issues, who have been diagnosed with some type of drug and alcohol issue. I got my CPR certification. I got my mental health certificate.
Well, Sharon, and let me just say this. I mean, your story is had an amazing outcome, right? God just spared you. You were able to wake up. Unfortunately, there's some people who never wake up.
And that
mindset that you mentioned there, it's, you know, now you can look back and in some ways you even laugh about it, even though it's not a laughing matter. You can look back and say, well, wow, God had a bigger plan. But, you know, the devil is real. And you know, this is a spiritual battle and also a physical battle. So it's like at that moment, it might not make sense now, but at that moment, it probably made perfect sense to you. And I think something that Steve had mentioned, that's why it's so important to get open, to talk to people. Sometimes we assume no one cares, right? But that we know that's not true. I mean, number one, God cares.
Well,
and I believe
does.
God
and,
puts
and
people
I, like
in
I
our
said,
lives.
I said I was saved. And people mm-hmm. seem to be under the misconception also is that saved people don't kill themselves. Mm-hmm. Yes, they do.
Well,
and my thought was, well, I know where I'm going because
wow.
I am saved.
Wow. Wow.
So
that's a great point.
I truly felt that, okay, it'll be a better place because the personal people that was in my life that I was speaking to about how I was feeling, oh, you'll be all right. Be strong. Oh, come on now. Snap out of it. And I'm just looking at them like, and y'all say y'all love me, y'all care about me, and this is what you tell me?
Yeah, they're just giving you these like quick answers and not really digging in. Well, Sharon, I want to say thank you so much. I'm so glad to hear how God has used this situation, and now you're able to bless others through it.
Yes, I had to realize that, you know, when I woke up 3 days later, I might add,
wow.
that, you know, okay, God, you didn't allow this to happen. So you have to have a plan for me because you didn't allow me to come home.
Wow.
So I just fell on my face and prayed. And I want to say this before I go is that I did start self-medicating.
Okay.
And then with that, on top of how I was feeling, people really didn't take me seriously. Oh,
sure.
Well, you out in the streets and blah, 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 blah. But there's always a core root as to why somebody is doing something.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, thank you so much. We really appreciate the conversation. And thank you for sharing your testimony.
Thank
Praise
you.
God.
And you know what? You're always you and the rest of your colleagues are in my prayers to just keep doing God's work. And thank you for the advices that you give.
Amen, Sharon. Thank you. You have
God
a blessed
bless.
Day.
Thank you.
Yeah, but before we go to our next caller, you know, Steve, we were actually talking about this. And I had asked the question. I said, is there ever a time to tell someone, snap out of it, right? What if it's just your friend and you feel like, hey, you know, they're not really depressed. They're not suicidal. Should I just tell them to snap out of it? And what was the answer?
Well, a lot of people think depression is just like someone that has the normal everyday ups and downs of life, just like anybody else.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And it's really a kind of an ignorance of what depression is. So mm-hmm. then when you think that, it leads you to say things like, well, come on, man, you just got to toughen up. You give these, you know, real pat answers.
Mm-hmm.
And you really have to educate yourself on what depression is. I mean,
absolutely.
it's a serious battle. It's a disease. Mm-hmm. You know, there's a psychological battle. It's good to understand. I'm not a biologist or a neuropsychologist or a psychiatrist or anything, but it's good to understand the biology, what's
sure.
going on in someone's brain. So as a therapist, I at least have a respect for that topic.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. Just to get a sense that this is a bigger, way bigger
Absolutely.
Issue than just to say, snap out of it. If someone has a disease like Parkinson's, or diabetes, whatever, I don't tell them, just, you know, get over it, man. Come on, what's the deal?
Mm. Yeah,
what's
wrong?
Why would I say that? It doesn't make any sense. So you wouldn't say it with depression either.
Absolutely.
But you can see, because people think that who don't, they see someone like Sharon who's going through these things and they immediately give these quick judgments of what she's going through mm-hmm. and judge her, and it's really not helpful.
And I think the conclusion I came to as well when we were talking is you should never say to someone, snap out of it. I mean, even if they're not necessarily clinically depressed. I mean, to me, you know, the more I think about it, it's just insulting, right? You, someone's being open with you. They're sharing with you. If they could snap out of it, they probably would have already, and you wouldn't even be talking about it. So I think a better answer, even if you don't know what to do in the moment, is let's pray about this. Let's take this to God. Let's see what God would reveal at this time, instead of just simply telling someone, snap out of it, or, you know, get a grip, or toughen up, or anything like that. So let's continue on here with our phone call. This is a much needed conversation. We absolutely want to hear from you. We're going to go ahead and continue our phone calls, but we do want to hear from you if you've not yet picked up the phone.
All right. So call us at 855-454-5905. Let's speak with Dave calling in from Philadelphia. Dave, good morning. You're live on the air.
Good morning. How are you doing?
Well, thank you. How are you?
Thank you, Dave.
I'm doing pretty good. I have a base question. I was raised in a church that taught faith.
That taught faith, you said?
I'm sorry, that taught faith.
Okay, okay. Pretty much like faith can heal anything.
Oh, okay. That taught faith.
Okay.
And when you come from that foundation, you know, I think that this needs to be addressed like across the board, because people like depression and clinical depression was not really a topic or an illness until recently. I'd say the last 20 years or so, maybe the last decade. And when you hear the word depression, even now, I'm calling in because when you say it, it's I want to be one of the ones that say, you know, you need to pray, or you need to do this, or you need to do that.
Sure. Well, Dave, let me ask you a question just to clarify. When you said the church you grew up in, it taught faith, what do you mean? Do you mean that faith was the answer to everything? You know, just pray about it, God's got the answer?
Yeah, I mean, a lot of things that I see now, you know, people lay hands on people and, you know, so-called or what, demons come out, you know, some kind of spiritual manifestation. And now you have all these sicknesses. So in my mind, I'm like, well, maybe we need to get back as a church to some of the things that we used to do, you know, in days of old. But then I want to know, how can we, from across the pulpit, address an issue like that and still preach faith?
I hear you.
Without being preaching, or seems like we're speaking an oxymoron or something like that.
Okay. Well, Dave, let me hear. Steve Antini actually said something earlier about his own personal ministry. I love this statement, and I think that we should imitate this.
Oh yeah. Well, what we were talking about is it's sort of my goal and ministry, if you will, purpose to help people to say and do the right things, to help others through serious mental illness and serious problems. So, and I kind of summed it up by saying, you know, it's my ministry is called Stop Saying and Doing the Wrong Things, and start saying and doing the right things to help people. Mm-hmm. Because there's just a lot of, not doing things that are helpful to others. I mean, and like you said, Dave, with faith, that the way that comes in, I mean, there is a part in that that plays into healing and trying to give someone hope and praying with someone and remembering there's God is a strength and a source of refuge. But that's, you got to respect the struggle that someone goes through, the lifelong struggle. And sometimes when there's all these other faith, if people can substitute that as a quick fix for something, and it's not a quick fix. So when I work with someone with depression, I really respect the lifelong struggle that they go through. And but I do want to bring God into the picture. You know, there's a way to do that that's good and healing. And God empathizes with us. That's what Hebrews 2 and Hebrews 4 talks about. He empathizes with all our struggles. And he can be there for us, but, you know, I'm not going to, you know, necessarily lay my hands on someone and expect some kind of healing. It's going to be a longer struggle than that.
Yeah, so, and sometimes it is. And, Dave, I think I feel like I've wrestled and struggled with the same thing, where you're like, well, you know, shouldn't God be enough? I mean, God is the great physician. He's the healer. Like, why do we need modern medicine? But then, you know, you even reading in the biblical times, I mean, people still needed one another. They needed help. And God allows for, I guess, for us to realize that we're limited. And there are those times that I believe God absolutely can miraculously heal us. But there are those other times where, like Paul even said, it's like he had a thorn in his flesh. It wasn't taken away. And so what do? You deal with it. And I think the problem is when God allows something to be in our lives, like a depression that won't go away, some kind of mental illness that won't go away, I think that the answer is, well, my great God's grace is sufficient. Let me learn to deal with this. And there may be a reason. Our previous caller, Sharon, shared an amazing testimony, right, where she was going through it and she tried to take her life. And then God allowed her to wake up 3 days later and she took that as an answer. But not only did she take it as an answer, okay, well, I won't kill myself. She began to really look at her life as how she can help other people going through the very same thing. And who knows, if she never would have gone through this, she never would have went in that direction. So I think God has an interesting way of working in our lives.
I'm going to say it because I know you probably got a lot of other people calling. Because I'm not saying not to do it.
Okay.
Maybe I stated it wrong. But how does the conversation sound that equips a person like me, a lay person, to be strong in faith and have the sense, I don't want to say common sense, but have the sense to know that if my prayers aren't answered or if God didn't do what I'm looking for him to do, to now, if we have avenues that are in the physical realm to do that, and I'm not going against.
I hear you.
Anti-faith.
Actually, I had a conversation recently with a couple of therapists, and this specific one was one that I said, listen, you know, as a church, because I pastor a church as well, and I said, as a church, as people on, you know, preaching God's word, how do we help people to see that they need help? And you know what the answer was? It was very simple. Is we need to continue to talk about it to raise awareness, because if we don't talk about it, then people feel like it's taboo. So if the church just keeps saying, you know, God is going to do it, God's going to do it, and we don't like really expose the fact that, yes, there are faith things that can be healed, but let's mention the reality of things, right? Not too long ago, you know, we've all known, and through media we know, people have lost loved ones. Even preachers have lost loved ones. And all of a sudden, they start talking about it. But the mistake is we don't talk about it enough in the church. And I think even more so in the Black and Latino churches. Like, we just don't talk about it enough. And so it becomes taboo. I mean, you know, from where I sit, sometimes people are very reluctant to go and get help because it's just not exposed.
If
we talk about it, and I'm not saying you talk about it every sermon, but, you know, you talk about it enough that, wait a minute, this is normal. Like going, you know, if you had chest pains, you'll go to the doctor. That's normal. Well, if you have some kind of depression or mental illness, you go to the doctor as well. You don't just say, okay, well, God's got this and I need to be ashamed. So I think that the answer, Dave, if this is what I'm hearing correctly, is we need to have more exposure and talk about it more so it could be more normalized.
Right. Okay.
Does that make sense?
That makes good sense.
Great.
That's what I was looking to hear.
Yeah, it is, Dave. I mean, it's a lot about having that place to talk openly about these deepest and darkest things, and that is the struggle of faith. I mean, it's this idea of strength in weakness. Well, weakness is that moment where you're at your weakness, and sometimes with a lot of people I work with depression, they are at those weakest moments, and it is okay to question God, to work with God through those dark things. And you know, that's what Job did. He spent a lot of the book of Job is struggling with, you know, this question of faith. And that's the whole middle of the book. There's only a chapter at the beginning, chapter at the end that deals with other things. It's the most of the book is that struggle. So that's a good thing. And I think the people around you, the people around people struggling with depression, should appreciate that struggle.
So, all right. Yeah. Great. Well, Dave, I thank you, because this is a great point that you brought up. And we really do appreciate you picking up the phone and having this conversation with us.
Thank you. Thank
God bless you.
All right. Take care. If you're just tuning in, you're listening to Marriage Beyond the Vows on Praise Your Inspiration Station. We invite you to give us a call at 855-454-5905. Let's go to Carol calling in from New Jersey. Carol, good morning. You're live on the air.
Hi, good morning.
Good morning,
hello.
Carol.
Jeez. I left my radio on upstairs in the bedroom. I'm here in the office.
Oh, okay. I would say close the door and make sure that we don't get any feedback.
Okay. All righty. That's
good idea.
Because there's a slight delay, so if the mic picks it up.
I can't even begin to hear because I'm in a totally opposite part of the house.
Okay, no problem. But we hear you loud and clear, just so you know.
Thank you.
So if you can hear us. Now, you mentioned to our producer you're actually calling because you're dealing with your son, I believe. Your son is dealing with depression.
Correct. And for years, I've been telling my husband that my son, has something chemical going mm-hmm. on because he would have distance. He's a beautiful child. He's handsome. He didn't finish college. He started a lot of things he didn't finish. He loves comedy. He's been doing great in performance, theater. And after a while, I realized that when he told us, I'm going to read the text he sent our family the other day.
Oh, okay.
He sent it to me, and we have one daughter, a daughter and a son, him. Mm-hmm. And he sent this text to us. He says, Robin Williams' recent and sudden suicide has me thinking about my own problems with depression. I don't expect you guys to ever, ever fully understand what it is I'm going through. I would appreciate that you understand that I do feel this way. Mm-hmm. Being silly and funny is a temporary distraction from the constant sadness and self-loathing. Being on stage, acting, or doing comedy is a distraction by allowing myself to be a different person through character and persona.
Wow.
Everyone was so shocked by Robin's suicide because he always seemed so happy and full of life. We now know this to be his greatest performance in life, hiding his immense and terrible pain with other people's laughter so he didn't drag us all down. Because, yes, being sad sucks, and making other people sad isn't fun either. I don't want to end up like that. But at the same time, if my depression is a simple chemical imbalance in the brain or whatever, I don't want to be dependent on potentially harmful antidepressants. However, I do admit that I need help because who knows if there will be a day when I simply can't pretend anymore. I'm going to look into finding a therapist or something, and going forward, I'd appreciate your refraining from saying painfully obvious things like, take one day at a time and just think about happy things, or simply being rude when I'm trying to talk about what's going on in my head, as Lydia tends to do. Oops, that's the sister. Mm-hmm. We don't say it often, but I love you, my family, and the last thing I want is for anyone to be sad because of me. I can't do it alone, but it's a burden that I cannot share. Kind of like Frodo and Sam in Lord of the Rings, you know? Frodo had to carry the evil ring, and Sam came along to help, and when he saw his friend in terrible agony, he was unable to help because he too would be cursed by the evil ring. Mm-hmm. So be my Sam and come with me on this journey to destroy this evil, but know that you can't and won't understand it.
Wow. Carol, let me start off by saying so encouraging to hear how brutally honest but courageous he is to express that to you and your family. And sure. Also for you, I commend you for taking it seriously. I mean, you sharing this, I'm sure is helping so many others to say, wait a minute, maybe their family members, their loved ones are going through something very similar, but they haven't yet expressed it. Mm-hmm. And so it sounds like you've done a great job in creating a safe environment that he feels like he can say this. And maybe he didn't feel like he can say this face to face. He needed to write it. And that's fine. I mean, mm-hmm. as long as he's communicating, I think what you do next is so key. And Steve, who deals with this very often, actually, he deals with this in mental health with people who also have, sometimes substance abuse issues. I think our earlier caller, Sharon, was mentioning how, you know, she kind of self-medicated, and, you know, that happens often as well. Mm-hmm. And that makes it sometimes easier for someone that doesn't understand to say, oh, that's the issue. The issue is you're self-medicating. But no, there's a root there, right? There's something deeper. Mm-hmm. But again, I commend you for this. I want to hear what Steve has to say in terms of what is the next step that you should take.
Okay.
Wow, Carol, I mean, what a really moving letter. I mean, the letter really brought out the struggle that your son is going through, because on the one hand, he's reaching out for help,
right?
But on the other hand, he's admitting this is a struggle, and I don't want there to be a time where I can't pretend anymore. Wow, that's a very powerful statement. I mean, the next obvious step I would say is you're a champion for his cause, so to speak, to live again, And you recognize that there is more going on here than just, well, give a simple solution to a complex problem. Like you said, beginning, there's biological issues going on. And I would keep following up with him and really find out what is – I'm sorry?
Yeah, I agree with you. One thing is that for sure my son doesn't have any other things like substance abuse or
– Right.
Anything.
That's good to know.
To know that. But and I didn't want to cut you off, but I do want to say that he has – he sort of – his anger is best directed at me. He is – very to the point. I start to wonder, is it kind of a manic depressive issue? Because the other day when I came home, I felt so strongly that he had opened up, and I was so grateful that he was letting us in. You have to know, when he was a teenager, you know, going through puberty, I don't know what happened, but he wouldn't talk to, I sat him down at 12 years old in the chair in my kitchen, and for hours he would not tell us why he felt bad. He would not share. And anything he does usually say very bluntly to me is very angry and very, very hurtful. You know, he calls me a religious prick. He at the dinner table with the family, he deliberately doesn't say amen when we have the grace. He said to the people that, you know, he says disparaging things about our home church.
Okay.
And he is not really... It's like he wants. He has a virtual way. He's, you know, a kid today. They do more texting and computer type things. So he looked at me. I came up the next day after he had shared that, and he says, "Why did you look at me funny?" And I said, "I just was looking at you." You know, he says.
Sure.
So he's guarded about even really letting me in, and he really just wants to push me away to the point where I was actually afraid, and I thought, I want to be, I couldn't sleep that night because I wasn't sure what he might do.
Sure,
yeah,
sure.
Yeah, Carol, I mean, remember, he might want to push away, but at the same time, he doesn't want to push. He does want the help.
You're breaking up.
Yeah, you hear, okay. Well, yeah. Well, Carol, could you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Okay, I want to actually share a passage with you. It's from the book of Jonah. And Jonah was running from God. And I don't know all the details. I mean, we had to fill in the blanks. I mean, sometimes people are angry with God and the church and you know, with religion in general. Sometimes that's justified. Like, people have done some really stupid things to cause that. And other times, and other times they haven't. Other times, you know, people are just telling you the truth and people don't want to hear it. In this case, God...
Breaking up.
Oh wow! It must be something with your phone.
Could, my phone. I'm on my home line.
You know what you should do, Carol? Honestly, hang up the phone. Listen to what we're going to share.
Hang it up, and then you.
And I'll share it, and you'll hear what we're saying.
Okay, and I don't. I personally, because it is a very sad thing for me, and perhaps, and my son, he's just trying now to get health insurance. But I personally need to, not be sad all the time.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah.
So if there's any referral to some or some follow-up you can give me in terms of my own need for therapy.
Yeah, Carol, that's a good point. And you got to take care of yourself, too. Mm-hmm. It really does.
You know, you blame yourself. I blame myself because of this child. I blame myself.
Mm-hmm. Now, this is not something for you to blame yourself. This is deeper. This is and that's not going to help. And you're right. You got to get help for yourself. I'm sure you've heard, right, the analogy about putting on the oxygen mask when you're up in the airplane and they're like, put that oxygen mask on yourself first before you put it on your child.
Yeah.
Because if not, you'll pass out and then you won't be able to help them.
Be any good.
Yes. So but in order for you to get this clearly, I do want to share this passage. It's from Jonah chapter 4. And it's a very quick passage here, but in verse 3 it says...
I'm going to change my phone. I think I'm too far away from the base. I'm going to change this phone.
Okay.
And get on this other one.
Okay.
Hello?
Yes. Can you hear us better?
Yes, yes.
Okay. And so anyway, so Jonah was running from God.
No. I'm going to go, like you said. I'm gonna
hang up and listen to what we say on the radio.
Thank you very much.
No problem, Carol. Thank you. All right. So we do want to hear from you. We know we have many of you waiting patiently on the line. I want to address really quickly what Carol was mentioning. And, you know, Steve, sometimes the challenge we have, and Tiffany, you know this, right? We want to get so much deeper and talk, but, you know, we only have a limited amount of time and a small window. But we're hoping that some of the things we're bringing up cause you to say, listen, I need to get deeper. I need to dig deeper with my relationship with God. I need to go get some outside help. There's absolutely nothing wrong with getting professional help with that. So you know, these things go together.
Yeah, it's important. I'm glad Carol called because it's important to work with parents, too, who have a kid that are going through something like depression. You can teach, and I hope parents, you can be open to learning about, well, what are the signs I look for? You know, there's a lot of things that therapists and that I've talked to parents about what to look for and how do I come in and help my son or daughter Absolutely. That's going through this. You can teach them things that a therapist uses to assess for depression. So, yeah.
And you know, she mentioned also the fact that she feels guilty, like it's her fault. Mm-hmm. And here's the thing. Let's be honest. We know this, like, in our minds, but emotionally it's hard for us to deal with. The fact that we're very imperfect people. And so no one handles everything right all the time. So you got to give yourself that grace. I think the difference and what makes us as Christians different is that we repent and we see the right thing. So, for example, let's say you were insensitive towards your child and their depression. Well, repent and don't be insensitive and say, well, how do I change this? And part of that is having that conversation and having the humility to say, hey, I need help myself so that I can help them. But don't beat yourself down, because especially you, Carol, I think it just sounds, I mean, you absolutely love your son and you care, but the enemy would love for you to be down and out yourself, and then you can't help him. Anyway, the scripture I want to share is from Jonah chapter 4, and Jonah was trying to run from God. You know, this is, you guys know that he had issues with God. He ran away. And in Jonah chapter 4, it says, but Jonah, this seemed very wrong, and he became angry. He wasn't happy with what God was trying to do with the Ninevites, right? So he says, he prayed to the Lord. Isn't this what I said, Lord, was when I was still at home? This is what I tried to foretell by feeling the fleeing to Tarshish. I knew that you're a gracious and compassionate God, slow to anger and abounding in love, a God who relents from sending calamity. Now, Lord, take away my life, for it is better for me to die than to live. But the Lord replied, is it right for you to be angry? Jonah had gone out and sat down at a place of rest in the city that he made for himself, a shelter. All right. And it goes on and on. And then he says later on, it says, it would be better for me to die than to live. But God said to Jonah, is it right for you to be angry about this plant? And, you know, this to me is a great example, because God is perfect, right? He didn't make a mistake. We can make our mistake and we can feel like, well, maybe it's our fault. Well, in this case, God is perfect. Jonah understands who God is, but he's still angry and he's really depressed. And so sometimes when things don't go our way and we're angry and we're depressed, we can take it out on God. And all we can do is let God work. And sometimes we got to take ourselves out the way. We think we're too much of the solution. So I agree that we should pray for people. I agree that we should get involved in people's lives. But sometimes we want to fix the person, and they have to have their own conclusion. I believe what God did here, if you read this passage, is he set everything up so that Jonah could come to his senses. And I think what Carol and others are going through, you just want to make sure you get help for yourself so you can set up your life, the atmosphere, everything, so that your son or your loved one, in this case, if you're listening in, can get the help that they need. Make sure you get yourself out the way by getting healed yourself and doing the right thing.
Yeah, I mean, Carol, you're really good at seeing there's more going on here than what meets the eye. Anger is one of the expressions of could mean point to depression. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people study this in different cultures, different how people express depression and clinical depression and what are the symptoms. Anger is one of them. And it's an extreme battle. I can see your son also has a lot of just struggles internally with just thinking really down on himself even some people like that, you can try to reason with them just to help them, but they still continue to see the negative in themselves and other things. But, you know, I feel for what you're going through, and, you know, I hope you get the help you need. I'm glad you recognize you're trying to take care of your son, but you're also taking a lot in yourself and a lot of the stress, and you feel that that struggle your son's going through, and I hope you get the help for yourself as well.
And so I want to mention, you know, your church might be a great place to get that help, or sometimes it's not. Also, there are many resources out there that are either free or very affordable, or if you have the means to it, sometimes it's very expensive as well. But just don't sit back and feel like there's no solution. There are plenty of solutions. We'll give you more of these in just a moment. And we also are going to have more conversation about dealing with mental illness, depression, suicide, these issues that are real. So we want to hear from you.
Just reach out to us at 855-454-5905. We'll continue discussion on our topic beyond mental illness when Marriage Beyond the Vows continues after this.